He chose us. He's made us accepted. In him, we have forgiveness of sins. We are members of the household of God. He himself is our peace. Through him, we have access to the Father.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22, simply four verses as we finish chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. You'll remember that we're in the midst of chapters 1, 2, and 3 as we're going through the book of Ephesians, looking at the wealth that is here for us as believers. I believe that is very important. That's why I've taken time to slow down, as I have mentioned to you before, for us to look. Today we're going to look at six more of these blessings, the wealth that God has given to us, because it's very important. But I would like to encourage us this morning to remember that there's a world that doesn't understand what you and I understand today. As we look at these blessings, they're going to be something that you're familiar with. You'll go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. You recognize those. The danger is that maybe you won't meditate upon them as much because, oh, I recognize those. I know all the truth. But yet there might be something the Holy Spirit would like to say anew. But there's a world out there that does not understand what we understand. It's impossible for them to understand. On July 4th, we started out, I volunteer as a chaplain and went down to the Lawrence Park there early in the morning. We like to get there early. We prepare some coffee and donuts for the police officers, of course. You know, for the police officers, got to have. And the fire personnel and the EMTs and us too, okay? And we were just there. But as I went through the day, more and more, you could see the battle that are raging for souls. In the midst of the parade, and it was a nice parade, and I'm not putting anyone down in any way whatsoever, and I pray that you'll understand my comments right here. But there was one group in the parade, and it was a group of young ladies, dancers, and I don't consider myself a prude in any way, but I know what Scripture says. It was sensual dancing in the midst of a parade. I mean, from this to that, to by the way they were dressed, to the way that they wiggled, to the way the beat and all that, in the midst of a parade. Now, I grew up, I was in a band, I marched, I was in a drum and bugle corps, and marched in that, you know, and parade after parade after parade, and I don't remember any parade that ever had that in the midst of it. Our world is in a tremendous need right now. And so I'll talk a little bit more about my day as I experienced as it was driven into my heart, not only to receive, which we should do, these blessings, this wealth that we have, but also understand and not to forget, there's a world that needs to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit what you and I understand today. So join with me, please, verse 19. In this message I've entitled, We Are Citizens of Heaven. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom is mentioned twice here, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for what? For what purpose? Paul says for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you guys, that's a mind blower. We are but clay. We know Adam was made by the hands of God from clay. And then we are the sons of Adam through this generation and generations and the centuries and centuries. We are but clay. But look at that again, verse 22. In whom, in Jesus, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a blessing that we have. We truly have today. So we've looked at 32 blessings, and in a moment, I'm going to go through those 32 blessings. Is that okay? And I'm just going to ask us just to sit back and listen to what we have covered at this point. But who we are in Christ Jesus, what we have been given because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's important that we realize that we are citizens of heaven. We're still here at this point, but according to Scripture, in a very true spiritual sense, and as we look forward to someday we will all be there, we are citizens of heaven. In verse 19, it says, now, therefore. Why is the therefore there? Because he's bringing together all that was there before we got to this point. He says, now, therefore. Then he makes this bold statement, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're no longer strangers and foreigners. What was a stranger? It points to a person who is a short-term transient. That's not who we are. We're not in the kingdom of God for a short term. We're not transitioning in and transitioning out. We belong to God. That's who we are. It's a blessing when we surrendered our lives. Sometimes I don't think we understand what we do. And I know I didn't, and we don't. But it's so rich. It's there. We are no longer short term. We are of the family of God. In the eyes of God, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we are no longer strangers. He knows us. We know him. That's a tremendous thing. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. A foreigner refers to an alien who had settled in a particular country but had no intrinsic rights because they are not citizens. When we know all that's going on in our nation today, the debates are going on, it's right before our very eyes, and we understand this principle. But we are no longer today, as children that belong to Jesus Christ, foreigners to the kingdom of God, to God. We are citizens of heaven. That is amazing. It truly is. As we sit here today, if Jesus is your Savior and the Lord of your life, that's who you are. Now, I don't have a driver's license that says that. I don't have a Social Security card that acknowledges that. But we have the Word of God. And it says, this is who we are. It's an amazing reality. He goes on, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Two things I'd like to point out there. Fellow citizens, believers now are members. We are citizens in the kingdom of God, as I have said, with, here it comes, all the rights and privileges of a citizen of heaven. All the rights and privileges. Today, as citizens of the United States, we have a right to vote, do we not? Today, as a citizen of the United States, we have a right to education, a privilege. Today we have so many privileges of as individuals in a nation that we are citizens of, and I'm very glad we have a privilege to prosper. We have a privilege to go to Chick-fil-A if we'd like to in the United States of America. We can do, except for Sundays. Okay, how many times? Come on, be honest. How many times have you wanted on? Let's go to Chick-fil-A. Can't do that on Sundays. Praise the Lord that they've made a stand like that. They truly have. We are no longer, it's amazing, no longer strangers, no longer foreigners, fellow citizens, you and I, with the saints, saints that have come before us, saints that are alive today, saints in the future, and members of the household of God. Paul is simply saying that we are family. That's who we are. We're family with those in Indonesia that know Jesus Christ. We're family with those in Russia that know Jesus Christ. We're family with those that are in Saudi Arabia that know Jesus Christ. We're family all throughout the world with those that have claimed Jesus Christ. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, separating from us from our Heavenly Father. And how wonderful that is. Amen. There's nothing. One may say sin. Yes, if we haven't accepted Jesus, we are separated because of our sin. And then as Christians, if we progress in our sin and don't walk away from it, there's a hindrance in our fellowship. But I really believe, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and on there, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, we'll have that on the screen right now. You can read along with me. It says, but now they desire a better, speaking of those there in Hebrews chapter 11 that had come prior to this point. They desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How many today, as it says, therefore, are not ashamed to call God their God? Wow. Then it says, there's prepared a city for you. There's a city for you and I. Billy Graham, concerning our heavenly citizenship, said this, the Bible says that as long as we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. There are enemies to be conquered before we can return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we are today, citizens in heaven. I can't think of a better place, can you? I'm glad to be in the United States of America. I'm even glad to be in Indiana. The roads are flat. It's easier to ride on the bike, okay? It's a lot easier that way, you know? I'm glad to be a citizen in that way. But I'm just blown away that God would consider me a citizen in the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 also will be on the screen. It says, look at this one, please. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not an amazing reality? That's who we are if we belong to Jesus Christ today. There in verse 19, the next blessing we see, and they're tied together very closely, but there's a distinction here. We are members of the household of God. This points to the reality of believers in Christ, and the adoption of the believers in Christ into the family of God. Notice there on the screen, Scripture, John, in John chapter 1, verse 12, John said, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who do what, does it say? Believe in his name. Is that not amazing? It's all we have to do. We don't have to work. I don't know about you guys. I worked so hard trying to get to heaven until it hit me in the face. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, stop it, Bill. It's my free gift to you. Receive it. Just surrender. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Paul said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How do we become a citizen of heaven? Simply by faith. Not by works. Simply by faith. It's amazing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There's something inside of us now that says, Dad, I just love you. I want to be with you. I can't wait for that day that it's completed to be with you. And that's what we see in Scripture, and that's what Paul's talking about. Again, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer, there's a promise, strangers and foreigners. That's not who we are. But we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's who we are today. It even gets better. It goes on there in verse 20. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Blessing number 35, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament, the prophets that we see. God used that and spoke to the people of the Old Testament. That Old Testament still speaks to us. But also we have today the apostles that traveled with Jesus, that lived with Jesus, and wrote down these words that we have in the New Testament. It's amazing. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. The witness of those who came before us without a doubt were foundational for the early Christians, but it's foundational for you and I today. That's why we study the Word. That's why we read the Word. That's why we meditate over the Word. So it speaks to us and it tells us who we are in Christ Jesus. But we can't just stay there because there's a world that needs to hear the truth. Thursday, as we continued through the day, and it was a long day, but it was a good day, but we get close to the fireworks and the carnival opens up and all that, and you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. In ways. Unbelievable. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Here's a carnival that's intended to be for families, that they can come and ride those things that make you go dizzy and all that, and come there. But families got out of there. Why? Because of groups of people that just came in for another purpose. Another purpose. I could not believe how young ladies were dressed. I couldn't believe it. Yet I know it, but I couldn't believe it was even far worse than I have seen before. And sometimes what is wrong? The women get all upset if a guy touches them in that way, but you're dressing that way. You know, they can dress any way they want, right? Anybody can do whatever they want. But in our city, and then it just kept escalating and escalating and escalating. And there was a 17-year-old young man that got arrested because he had a weapon. Why did he bring a weapon to a carnival? And it was a stolen weapon. Guess what happened? Got a weapon, doesn't have a license to carry, and it's a stolen weapon. Where did he go? Downtown to jail. Got a record now and all that. But just seeing the fight, seeing the stuff that was just going on, one of the officers came up to me, you know, the spiritual man that I am, and he came up to me and he said to you, "Bill, are you praying?" He knows I'm a chaplain. I go, "Oh yeah, I'm praying." I thought, I better pray. So I began to walk through the crowd and all that and praying in the spirit and just praying and praying. And it seemed like God then began to settle it down a little bit. This is not where we belong, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And we have to, while we are here, bring as many of those people from that, young people, people that want to hear what we have heard, what we understand. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing as we see. We are members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, notice what it says. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's where he is today, but he's coming back soon, and we will be with him forever and ever. And there in verse 20, notice the next blessing we have. Number 36, since we've been going through these chapters, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This is very important. I almost made this the center of our message today, but I just felt that God wanted us to look at we are citizens of heaven. What is the purpose of a cornerstone? Back in the old days, it was more important than it is today, but there is and was a purpose for that cornerstone. You've seen them. You go down to the Capitol building, you see it there. It has the date when it was started and all that, and you see these things. Today, it's more for decoration than it was as in the old days, but listen to what it was. The cornerstone or foundation stone or setting stone is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. It is important since all other stones will be set in reference, listen to this, to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. It provided the standard to follow for straight lines both horizontally and vertically. Jesus is our standard for the straight line to follow today. He is our cornerstone, is what Paul's saying. In ancient building practices, the cornerstone was the principal stone placed at the corner of the building. The cornerstone was usually one of the largest, the most solid, and the most carefully constructed of any in the building. Jesus describes himself as the cornerstone that his church will be built upon, a unified body of believers, both Jew and Gentile. The book of Isaiah says this concerning that cornerstone: "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line." It's amazing. God is speaking to scoffers and boasters when he refers to the cornerstone, his precious son, who provides the firm foundation for their lives if they would but trust in him. He is that one. He's our plumb line. He's the one, all the vertically and horizontally, all the lines are, the building stones are to be set upon. He is our Lord. In Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23, it won't be on the screen, but it says this: "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Who is the cornerstone again? Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying. Again, look, verse 20, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." We can always trust in him. We can always trust him in that way. And blessing there, 37, found in verse 21, look, "in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Being fitted together, these words in its original language means being joined together, and shows that the work is a continuous and progressive work. Thus it is with our walks in the Lord. We are in the midst of a continuous and a progressive work. And he's still got some work to do, at least in my life. I don't know about yours. But he's continuing. That's what he's saying there. He's using this image that they would understand, that it's progressive, it's continuous, and that's what he's working in our lives. We grow into a holy temple in the Lord. That means we increase, we rise up into a holy temple in the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Lord?" That is an amazing statement. "And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now, is that not amazing? Yes. Okay, thank you, Pam. Is that not amazing? But clay. That's all that we are, the reality that we now are this temple that God is building, a wonderful place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Or did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and that's what Paul's recognizing. And then verse 22, we see the last blessing, number 38, "in whom you also are being built together," for what purpose? "For a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit." That is an amazing reality. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside of our lives once we give our hearts to Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I love what Peter says about this. "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Tell me when you were there by saying "there." If you're not there, say "not there." If you don't care, say "no." Come on, Jim, we're all waiting. Everybody's looking at you. Are you there? Okay. Look at verse 4. "Coming," Peter says, "to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you realize that that is one of the reasons why we have worship the way we have worship at our church here? Church growth experts, whoever they are, say, do not do worship the way that we do worship. Because what we endeavor to do is allow an opportunity for this that we see right here, for the Spirit to have a place in our hearts that we might raise our hands if we want. We can raise our feet if we want. We can praise the Lord if we want. But it's a time set aside. That's why I encourage all of us that we should be here when the band begins, because it's a place of worship. It's a place where God works. It's a place where the Holy Spirit in us unites us together as a body of Christ. You also, again, verse 5, as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him, on this cornerstone, will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He goes back to the Psalms and Isaiah to bring out those scriptures there we find in 7 and 8. And then he goes, they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. In verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Do we say praise the Lord for that? We really do. It's a wonderful area of Scripture, and we're going to take communion now, but I'd like us just to sit back. If you want to close your Bibles, go ahead. I'd like to just review the wealth that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, beginning in the first chapter of Ephesians. Just listen what he's given to each and every one of us. He chose us in him. We've been predestined to adoption. He's made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness of sins. In him we have the riches of his grace. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. He might gather together in one all things. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. We may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. We may know the hope of his calling. We may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. God has made us alive together with Christ. God has raised us up together. God has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us who are in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, these good works, that we should walk in them. God has brought us near to him by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. He has abolished in his flesh the hostility that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Jesus created one new man from the two, and Jesus reconciled them both to God in that true sense. And then we get into what we did today, these six. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. And then, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. We are members of the household of God. We have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You guys tired yet? Jesus Christ himself being our chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's just 38 of them. We got chapter 3 to go. All right, see what the Lord does there. Are we blessed? We are really blessed. And so why would we hold the blessings inside when the world is going away from him? We are the ones, are we not? We have all of these blessings. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. We today are ones that Jesus died for. He died for all, but we have received him as our Lord and Savior. And may we ever be thankful.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.